The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
With a score of 283, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Padraig Harrington.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a great start.
Here we go, man. Here we go.
Got a lot to get to in the final hour. Stat or story coming up in a little bit. We're going to send you at the top of the hour out to Goal PDX, where Danny Morang and Patrick Harris are getting ready to broadcast live.
I like it.
For Argentina, England. Swag's probably going to start doing some sound checks. Got to get stuff plugged in. Engineers are on the call. So that's coming up top of the hour. They got a live show today for the semifinal between Argentina and England. Lots to get to in the final hour of the radio program here. I got a lot of stuff tucked away in the notes. By the way, Swag did confirm that John Strong was on a bird, and they flew him to Atlanta to call
a game
today.
Okay.
He's getting the Herb Street treatment.
Yep.
I would argue he deserves it. He's been fantastic, and so they will be on the call today. Something happened yesterday. We have debated wide receivers today. We've debated the Portland funding package and Adam Silver's comments. What DEFCON level are we at? Like, it's been a fun show. Dare I say, I think this one might take the cake of all the debates that we are going to have.
Yeah.
And this isn't just on the show. It's amongst listeners as well. Yesterday, the House of Representatives passed legislation to make daylight savings time permanent nationwide.
Oh, my Lord.
Ending.
Here we go.
The twice-a-year clock changes. Mm. The vote was 308 to 117. Now, for those wondering who don't remember how this all works, the bill now heads to the Senate, where it would have to be approved there as well, and then signed by the President of the United States into law. So this is not the binding law that we think it is. This is the start of the process of making it that. But 308 to 117 is a pretty overwhelming minority. For those wondering the impact that this would have,
yeah,
this kind of blew me away.
So help us really understand for those that don't jump
essentially
into the frame of it.
What would happen is there would be no fallback.
Yep.
The time we're on is the time we're on.
It'll stay like it is
right
now.
We are staying like it is right now. Now, the trade-off in the debate here is over basically one thing and one thing only. Do you want more sunlight later in the day in the winter? Yes or no? And 318 House of Representatives voted yes, that they would like more sunlight.
Yep.
However, there is a trade-off here. And the trade-off being, if this is observed year-round, and this is the way that it works, and the Senate passes and the President passes it, on the day of the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year in terms of sunlight, do you know what time our sunrise would be? What time this, if we do not change, what time the sun would come up?
7:55.
A little bit later than that.
8:10.
It would have came up 15 minutes ago.
That is crazy for us because we're here working.
The first three hours of the show would almost be in the dark. Our latest, now this isn't obviously the entire winter. This is the winter solstice day, so the shortest day of the year.
Sure.
Our sunrise would be 8:51 a.m. That's when the sun would come up. When does school start for kids?
Usually like in the middle of September, right after Labor
I mean,
Day.
Like time-wise in the day. Like what
like
time?
7:45,
7:45, 8 o'clock. So you're going to school and starting school in the dark. Walking to school in the dark. Now, the trade-off of this is if you turn the clocks back, you get less daytime later in the day, and the sun goes down at, 4:30, 5 o'clock, whatever it is. 4 o'clock sometimes on those super short days, but the sun will come up earlier in the morning, and so you could get about your day. This has led to people are screaming about this and shocking developments.
Poll questions up. Do you want daylight savings time to be permanent?
I did not know in my crack research of this as the award-winning radio host that I am, that we tried this in the 1970s. I did not know that we tried this.
We passed it. It was a real, we did this.
And it lasted for 10 months, and we said, dude, never again. And we did a snip, snap, make up your mind, well, and we went back.
Yeah.
And it's been that case ever since the 70s, and now we're attempting to do this again.
Should be noted, you had kids going to school with flashlights and safety vests on so they could be seen.
Yes.
And also, we had a string of criminal activity involving children.
Oh, did we really?
I mean, they're in the
dark. It's dark.
There's
if your kids walk to school, this has to freak you out a little bit.
I mean, there's a buddy system, or they're not walking anymore.
Right.
Look, I have always been on, I think, the majority opposite side of this.
You don't mind the flip-flopping back and forth?
No, and yeah. I also love having daylight early in the day, mainly because I work.
It's a selfish thing, but sure.
It's a selfish thing.
Yeah.
What does this accomplish in December for people?
So the point being that you would have the latest.
So I can see the sun out at 6:45 when it's 10 degrees outside, because that doesn't do anything.
Oh, it wouldn't be that. It'd only be more towards 5 o'clock.
You would essentially be looking at, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Running a little later when it's 15 degrees outside.
And what people would argue, especially in our neck of the woods, in a lot of neck of the woods around the country, is that what is the weather usually in December?
Crappy.
So if you get an extra hour of sunlight or potential sunlight, what are the chances, A, you're seeing that sunlight?
Yeah.
There's not going to be clouds and rain.
Outdoing something.
And it's the kind of weather that you want to be outside enjoying in the first place. So that's the...
Well, I don't believe anybody below the Mason-Dixon line should be voting on this.
Fair point. It doesn't change that much.
I like that.
That's a fair point. It should be only above.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Only in the Union. No Confederates down there. We're not letting you vote on this thing.
Yeah, California, Hawaii, doesn't matter.
Yeah, get out of here.
Didn't they just do a study that they found that it's like the most impossible time maybe in our society ever for people, for middle-income people to buy a house?
It's pretty tough, yeah.
But we got to fix the clock problem for
tough.
Sunlight.
That has also been the response to a lot of this of like, I'm glad we're tackling like the important issues of not having to change my clock twice a year.
I don't understand what we're doing
here. How about
here?
Interest rates? Do we do something about that? Can we... Inflation, things being more affordable.
Wealth inequality. Yeah. We have a literal trillionaire operating.
Social security when we retire.
Yeah, making sure there's money that
healthcare,
will come in.
Healthcare, that could be an issue for
insolvent.
People, you know.
There's a lot of important things that we could tackle. But daylight savings time
airline
is what you're
fuels drop. The prices haven't. You know, there's other
gotta
things.
Fix the clock.
All right. Congressman, I'd like to put you and your vote to a record here.
Yep.
You are on the House floor, the representative of Happy Valley and Damascus.
I vote against.
The representative of Hillsborough and Beaverton.
County.
Is it making daylight savings time permanent or making standard time permanent?
Daylight savings time permanent.
I will vote no.
You're going to vote no?
I also, in the summertime, I would, when it is hottest, the fact to get the sun go down earlier so it will start cooling off earlier as global warming continues to, you know.
Yeah, what would, I mean, if you flipped it, sun, it would go down at 8-something instead of 9-something, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Where are you voting?
I'm voting no.
Yeah.
It's something that I've complained about.
Standard time
I feel
permanent.
Like you used to not, you used it's to be on the side of permanent.
Yeah, and it's definitely challenging with the kid, right? I think that's part of the argument of like when you have a young kid, but it's one day. Like it's, you know, you get over it. Not having the sun come up until nearly 9 o'clock in the morning in winter would really suck.
It'd be terrible.
What percentage of people don't start their day before 9 o'clock in the morning? Now, we're unique. We're extremely early.
Don't start the
like
day?
You're not up and coffee and like what percentage of people are we talking about here?
The majority has to be starting
before that work in restaurants.
Sure, there's
all that sort of
a few that work late or strippers. I'm sure you know. Gotta think about our dancers, our lady friends out there, right? Like that, they're not going to start till later. But the overwhelming majority of people are up and about and getting ready or going to or already at work prior to 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, as somebody who, as all of us do, for good parts of the year, you arrive to work and it is dark. It's a very weird feeling. When we get these moments, I walked out of my house today. I had a couple things I had to move around. I let the stroller in the back of the truck. I had to get it out. So guess what it was? It was bright out. And it made me feel like a normal, non-nocturnal citizen. And I'm just telling you, as somebody who's experienced that, it is a very weird feeling. Waking up and it being dark, going to work and it being dark, being at work and it's still dark, and then working for a while before the sun. Then you look out the window and you're like, hey, look at that. The sun came up. When did that happen? It's a very weird feeling. And that is what everybody will experience. It's not just us. We would almost be done with the entire show by the time the sun came up, which would be very weird.
We'd be back to being night dwellers.
We would be night dwellers again. We're just nocturnal, man.
It's a very odd feeling when you're driving from your house. Like when we leave our house and we're driving, it feels like midnight.
It's not that far off. It's only a couple months away.
I know.
Unless this passes and then we don't.
Well, this is going to pass. I
mean, you think it's going to happen? You think it'll fully happen?
I do.
I thought the Breezy had a stance on we're not approving anything until I get my Save America Act, because we have a housing bill that's been passed by both chambers of Congress, but it will not be signed into law.
I mean, it very well may be held up by the Parisi, the Steezy,
sure.
But also, like, his opinion on this could change in literally 5 minutes.
That is true. That
it
is true.
Doesn't take a lot to change that old mind. Now, on this particular issue, I saw this yesterday and I chuckled of, like, this is what they're wasting their time with, but seeing the amount of responses from people on this is a hot
It's a very hot
issue for people. Of things that we shouldn't really care this much about.
Yes. It is a very controversial issue.
It really is.
And it's funny how, because isn't the whole origin of it essentially a farming-based mechanism of more sunlight in the morning in order to get more, you know, product and be able to
work
better
longer.
Elevate work longer and all that kind of stuff? Like, yeah, it is. You know, we'll see if it actually ends up happening. It was funny. I had no clue this was even on the radar being voted on. I had not paid attention to that level, and so I was unaware, and then I see this yesterday, and I'm like, oh, my God, they actually passed this? We tried to do something on the West Coast. We were going to do our own little pact on the West Coast, Oregon, Washington, California.
Yeah, the three Pacific time zone states.
Which is just also weird. Like, the idea that I could be in Eastern, and it already exists, like Eastern, aren't there time zones in Eastern Oregon that are central?
There's a little corner
sliver in our
down
state.
In Southeastern that is in the mountain time zone.
So if I'm
Vegas is in the Pacific time zone.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vegas and Hawaii are two time zones.
Can we
that
make
are like
this make sense?
Always.
Yeah.
Well, Hawaii's just always 3 hours behind, right?
No, they don't observe daylight savings.
They stay the same, yes.
So they stay the same.
States' rights.
States' rights. Let me do what I want to do. It's like, wait, so in California right now, you're telling me it's 8:14 in the morning, but in Oregon it's 9:14 in the morning? Mm. How does any of this make any damn sense, man?
If I could pass a law, I'd pass a law that says my alarm clock has to put out the smell of freshly cooked bacon.
God, be nice. That'd be nice.
Like,
also would make me very hungry.
I'm not eating pork, but like, make me wake up with the idea that my downstairs is cooking bacon, and I got a reason to wake up. That'd be great.
Be a great smell
be
to wake
really
up to.
Really freaking nice to have my alarm clock distribute bacon smell.
Can we do that with our YouTube? Do we have like smell-o-vision or something?
Scratch and sniff on the screen.
Oh, isn't that what Wonka-vision was?
I know.
Was like,
yeah, make you smell it through the screen.
Smell it through the screen, the wallpaper, let's lick walls. Like, I mean, he was kind of ahead of his time there.
Absolutely.
Would you lick your wall if it tasted like something?
I don't know that I would.
It's kind of an odd idea of, like, lick the wallpaper.
How?
It tastes like a schnozberry.
You taste bacon. Why wouldn't I just eat bacon?
Like, what's your favorite taste of something? Give me any example. I know that's limited.
I just use bacon. I love the taste of bacon.
You love bacon.
Keep it with bacon.
It's the bacon of your choice. It's floppy, needs to be cooked a little longer, in my opinion, bacon. If I put that on your wall, would I catch you at home licking your wall?
I don't think so. I don't think, Matt, I can't never
give
say
it
never.
Occasional deep sniff. But
I'd
maybe
give it
not
a deep
lick.
Sniff.
Yeah.
Maybe once in a blue moon when I've had a few too many, I'll lick it on my way to bed.
Bubba's licking the wall constantly.
Dude.
No, it's got to be a certain
you
level.
You have to
your
raise
dog
it above.
Lick the wall.
It has to be above 5 feet tall.
Right.
Maybe even taller than that because he can put the paws up and start licking that thing.
You don't want Teddy Ballgame over there just lapping
no,
it up.
No, that's not good.
If you told me my living room tasted like key lime pie, I'm enough of a stoner to admit to you.
What
I'm
is
looking
Frank
around.
Coming to work today? We got a nanny cameo, and you're just dude, get off of the wall, man.
Dude, that might be the most embarrassing thing you could be caught doing. And there's a lot of things you could be caught doing. But if somebody walked in and you're licking your wall, that is an amazingly awkward thing. What are you doing? I'm tasting key lime pie right now.
That's what I'm doing, man.
Because I don't want to bake any.
Fun time zone fact, you can fly from Ontario, Oregon to Pensacola, Florida and only cross one time zone.
I don't like that. No, how is that possible?
Pensacola's in the central time zone.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it's right there at the panhandle where it's underneath, like, Alabama.
The Gulf of America
area. All the way over. Yeah. Yes. All the way over.
That is a weird fact. How long would that flight be?
A good four and a half to five hours.
At least, yeah. To change time zones by
one time. None of this makes sense. We're all just making it up.
From mountain to central.
Dare I throw at you, Brandon Sprague?
Yeah.
What's your net worth these days? You feeling good about your net worth? Because I got something that you might want to buy, buddy. Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, I might be a little too rich for your blood.
We were talking about buying a franchise.
Yeah, we were talking about starting
yesterday.
A franchise and
well,
figured out
the
we
brand
were
man
poor.
Just crapping all over it.
He did, yeah. We realized quickly that
we're not
opening
very liquid.
A, not no Panda. Liquid. My liquids aren't good right
if you
now.
You want this franchise, you need 2.5 liquid.
Yeah.
Like,
how's your liquid looking? Well, if your liquid's not good, you probably won't be able to afford it. But I believe we set a record yesterday for the highest sale price for a dinosaur in world history.
I've been following this story.
Have you followed
actually.
This one?
I almost chose
was
it for
Jody
status
bidding
story.
On it with all the proceeds from the sales?
She prefers penguins.
Oh, okay.
Gus is the name of the T-Rex.
Yeah,
it's
a young T-Rex.
61% bone completion.
It's the
meaning
most,
they've accumulated 61% of the bones of the T-Rex.
Now, are we still digging for more of Gus?
I don't know if they're still digging for Gus.
I don't know. I think Gus is done. I think they're done with Gus.
They've
and Gus
put him
is
together.
Gus is put together.
Okay.
He is standing. He's
not
got,
a super old T-Rex. He's a fairly younger T-Rex.
Okay.
It's a good size, but he's, you know. You can get the gist of the T-Rex.
Collected all of Gus.
This T-Rex would eat you if he was alive.
Yes.
Probably.
Looks like we're missing some stomach bones, maybe. It's hard to tell what the 40% is that we're missing. Let me see what it ended, because it went to auction yesterday.
50.1.
50.1 is what it sold for?
Yeah.
So there were two guys.
$1 million?
Yes. Ken Griffin and Todd Graves were the two estimated big bidders. Griffin's net worth is $51 billion and Graves is $22 billion.
What are these cats?
I don't know, other than
are they
buying
hedge
bones,
fund dudes,
probably.
Or?
The previous record for a dinosaur or a T-Rex sale was $44 million. So this set the record for highest selling T-Rex of all time.
Where would you put it?
Well, if you're that rich.
If you have $51 billion, I think you have a living room big enough
for
this.
If I was that rich and could buy that, which I did like think about how cool that would be.
$51 million.
Look.
What's your net worth have to be in order for you to spend $51 million on that?
It's gonna be a billion.
Has to be at least a billion?
A few billion.
I'd go 1 billion.
Okay.
I'd be comfortable with that.
I mean, it's $51 million for a billion. It's not much.
Well, if I've made a billion, I'm probably going to make another billion.
You just invest your money wisely. You're making a billion every year, yeah.
I've always stated that if I could buy this, the good in me says donate it to a museum so everybody could see
it. There you go. Put it up at OMSI.
Really? Realistically, I'm going to be selfish for about 20 years
courtesy
with this
of
thing.
The Brandon Sprague Foundation Trust.
It's going to be in my movie theater.
You want it in your movie theater?
It would be in my movie theater until I die.
Behind then, you, in front of you, next to the screen?
Probably.
How much space is in this movie theater?
We're having like a movie. Like, if you've been to a movie theater, that would be my movie theater.
Where would you put it in the? There's not a lot of space to put a dinosaur in a movie theater.
In the back row.
In the back row?
Yeah.
Okay. You go in the back?
Yeah.
Thinking about it, jumping on top of you.
Although that might be a bad idea because it's usually dark. So
that's
maybe
saying,
you want it kind of an open area where people walk by all the time. But also that can be weird. Like what kind of decoration is a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
I kind of hope if you become the evil Dr. Evil billionaire that this is in the, I want it in your front archway. I walk in your door and I want the T-Rex like coming at me like a spider monkey.
How do you not see it and have an idea of like Night at Museum?
Yes.
Random, like, just mental thought of this thing's going to be alive and try to eat me.
Be pretty bad. Pretty cool if it did.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Because it's just bones. It can't hurt me anymore.
Well, I saw somebody that was super rich bought an entire skeleton of a T-Rex with the teeth, and they had it by the front door.
Really?
And I just thought,
yeah,
that's what you do.
That's a cool evil billionaire thing.
Welcome
to
my castle.
I get a lot of tax breaks. There you go. We set the record for the T-Rex sale in daylight savings time. Let's yell about it. Stat or story? Next, 105.1 FM The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls.
So? So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
That's right, folks. It is Stat or Story time. As always, we love our good Stat or Story time here at 9:29 on your Wednesday morning.
I like it
too, Marcus. Swag, I'll toss it to you. Why don't you go ahead and go first here today, buddy?
All right. Your number is 5.
5.
Is it the total number of victories England has over Argentina in previous World Cup meetings? Or is it, according to the Hot Dog Council, the number of bites it should take you to finish one hot dog? It is National Hot Dog Day. A standard hot dog.
5 bites.
Yeah, I mean,
I might be under that 5 number.
I think I'm under it, but not by much.
It's 4.
It's at least four, maybe a nibble of 5.
Depending on how I set up my last bite, I always want the last bite to be such a good bite that I might nibble a little bit to make the last bite perfect.
The World Cup's been going on forever. England and Argentina have always been good, right?
Story.
Stat. Give me stat.
I said it first. Thank you.
They have met 5 times previously. England has won 3 of them.
They've only played 5 times in the history of the World Cup. Huh?
And they drew in a round of 16 games that Argentina advanced on penalties.
Isn't that kind of crazy? They've only played 5 times for all the times that they've both been in the World Cup.
I think meeting in the World Cup is not they're probably on opposite sides of the bracket.
Yeah, but it used to be a more limited field where how often have England or Argentina not gone to the World Cup?
Well, they're probably never in group stage together.
Yeah.
And then one side of the bracket. If you don't advance to the semis of the championship.
I think they're ducking each other, cowards, like USC and Notre Dame.
Talk to FIFA.
Just meet up and get it done.
Talk to FIFA.
Figure it out.
No, it is National Hot Dog Day. The Hot Dog Council says it should take you 5 bites to finish one hot dog, 7 bites for a foot-long hot dog. How many bites does it usually take you?
How many inches is a standard dog?
I want to say
5 or 6. About half, it feels like it.
I want to say 7 or 8.
Ooh.
Why are we saying 7 or 8?
Mm.
A standard hot dog is 7 to 8 inches long? She can't stop it from coming.
I believe so.
According to you.
According to me.
You have to ask your wife. What is the dog that you like that's perfect? What are you putting on the dog?
Perfect dog is cream cheese, grilled onions, and that's it.
Oh, I'm doing
perfect dog.
No mustard?
No, I don't need any mustard.
I'm doing grilled onions and peppers. Grated cheese, like cheddar.
I might do some Seattle dogs tonight for dinner.
And barbecue sauce.
You got me cooking on
barbecue
this now.
Sauce.
I love barbecue sauce.
On hot dogs, really, of all kind, like even if it's a brat or a sausage, it doesn't matter the kind of meat, or is it a specific kind?
I will put like stone ground mustard, the ones that have the little seeds in it. But any other form, if it's any sort of normal hot dog or kielbasa or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do barbecue sauce.
Kielbasa is such a cool name.
I'll do a little sauerkraut, standard deli mustard, chopped pickles, not relish, chopped pickles that are dill, and then probably some raw onions.
Raw onions on your dog, huh?
Yeah.
You like a little crunch?
I do. I like the little crunch.
Yeah,
you like your breath to stink?
Yeah. If I don't have time to, you know, slowly grill the onions and peppers. Chopped onions are great.
I think I might grill some dogs tonight.
The average American.
I'm not kidding. This has got me thinking about dogs.
This is according to the Farmer's Almanac on National Hot Dog Day. The average American eats 70 hot dogs a year.
70?
Yeah. That's 1 every 5 days.
Do you eat 7 every 5 days?
I don't even think I eat 70 hot dogs a year.
I eat 1 every 5 months.
Yeah.
Do you eat 1 every 5 days?
I eat my hot dogs in volume. Like there's a wave of hot dog and then no hot dogs and then a wave of hot dogs.
Between Memorial Day and Labor Day, Americans eat approximately 7 billion hot dogs.
We don't eat. I don't ever grill hot dogs on Labor Day. I definitely don't grill hot dogs on Memorial Day.
You grill them?
Grilled them? What did I say?
I thought you said grow.
No, grill them. I do like 4th of July, we'll always eat hot dogs. Yeah. That's a staple, but I don't for the, you guys for the other holidays, you sit around on Labor Day like, hey, I might smoke some ribs, get a pork butt, like you do something else. I don't mind doing something for those holidays, but it's
Dodger
not always
Stadium
hot dogs.
Dodger Stadium annually sells about 3 million hot dogs.
I mean,
per
the
season.
Dodger dog is perfect.
Yeah, maybe not having a baseball team here knocks our hot dog volume down. Like, if we had an MLB team and we went to 10 games a year, I'd, you know, my hot dog numbers would probably be way
you
up.
You usually get one. Is that what you get at the turn?
Always at the turn. Golf? You get a dog at the turn. Yeah.
By the way, poll question's up. Do you eat a hot dog once every 5 days? Yes or no?
That's the rough math.
Rough estimate. Yeah, I get it.
That seems a little
I get it.
Overinflated. All right, Sprague, what do you got?
Your number is 1.5.
1.5.
1.5. Is it the blocks per game Jan Hansen averaged his rookie season, or
for the Blazers or the remix?
The Blazers.
Okay. In summer league or the real?
The NBA season.
In the NBA season.
The NBA season last
1.
Year when
5.
He played, did he average 1.5 blocks per game? Or is it the amount of liters a woman drank of Diet Coke?
Oh.
To kill a growth developed from a GLP-1 that doctors could not solve.
And the Diet Coke did it, huh? Diet Coke's curing growths now? It's getting rid of goiters?
It might be a superfood. I don't know.
You think Shane Beamer wishes he has a goiter?
What?
Be like his dad. I'm going to go stat.
Are you at... Wait.
I'm going to go.
You think Shane Beamer wants
and maybe he'd be a
growth?
Better coach like his dad if he had a goiter. Maybe that's what's holding
was
him back.
Maybe he needs
he
Mike
He doesn't
Vick.
Have the power of the goiter. He's got Lenora Sellers. I was told he was
Lenora
good.
Lenora Sellers is not Mike Vick. You think he wants that?
I think he wants
what
a goiter.
What does your dad have that you wish you had?
Height.
Height's not a growth.
It's not literally a growing.
But
6'2", man. What the hell was that all about?
If I took the height away, is there any physical aside from height?
He's got a better head of hair than I do.
Does he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His hair is held on.
What about your dad?
Again, it would be, I'd like to be 6'2".
Yeah, it'd be cool. That's only about an inch and a half for you, though.
Yeah, you're close to
that's
that.
Not that's that not that big of a gap.
Man, it's all the difference in the
you're
life.
Just jelly because the brothers
what?
Are bigger?
Why? Between what? What is that inch and a half going to do for you? You just start for Lake Ridge? That wasn't what's make or break in that situation.
That's a fair point.
I hate to tell you this, buddy. I had a 6'2 backup for me at Park Road.
I think it's proving my Cooper Manning point.
What?
All your brothers are tall. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says his brother was 6'4". When we met him, did he feel 6'4"?
Everybody feels 6'4 to me.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm going to say story.
You're probably 6'4 for all I know. Swag might as well be 6'5". Who's bigger, him or LaMarcus? I don't know.
What are you saying?
Story.
You're going story? You're going stat? Yeah. I'll go in order in which I just got. Story, then stat. Give me a second here. Story. Stat.
Damn it.
No, the Yong Bomb averaged 1.2 blocks per game.
Hey, not bad, man. They call him a rim protector.
This is an interesting story. Now,
Chinese Gobert, it's his new nickname.
A lady was on a GLP-1, and as she was progressing, she was noticed she was throwing up a lot, so she got... Doctors are checking up on her, and they noticed a mass was growing in her stomach.
Ooh, that's not good.
And I guess it's like 4 in 1,000 people develop this when they're on the GLP-1, so it's a very limited range of people that have a negative result from a GLP-1. So she stopped taking this. They didn't know what to do, and then a doctor came up with an idea of like what can kill a growth and a mass. Coca-Cola. You know, if you put Coca-Cola in a toilet for a day, your toilet's clean.
Is it really?
That's always an old, age-old wives.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
I think they actually have videos of people like showing you what Coke can do.
I don't need to clean my toilet anymore.
Regular
just
Coke
leave it
or
there.
Diet Coke?
So they thought regular Coke, yeah. And then they found out, well, Diet Coke's already the best soda in general. What if we also find out it's a superfood? This lady was drinking 1.5 liters of Diet Coke every day, and when they re-examined her, they noticed... It actually killed the mass.
Really?
Yeah.
The power of Diet Coke.
Now, they're not sitting here telling you this is a standard fix. This is not a they're not going to write you a Diet Coke prescription here, right?
No.
But they're just observing that, like, this actually helped this one woman.
I'm going to go pick up some Diet Cokes and some hot dogs on my way home today.
Thanks,
gentlemen. You always
have a Diet Coke in your fridge.
I just finished my last one yesterday. I got to get some today.
Damn right you do.
All right, last but not least, your number today, gentlemen, is 21. Mm. 21. I hope you didn't see this story. You probably did, but I digress. 21, is it the combined under par score, if that follows, of the first three majors of Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy this year? So their combined score under par in the first three majors of the year.
Say the score, the number again.
21. Okay. So thanks. 21, yep. Under par, yep. Combined. Or is it the number of sitting or former presidents who have autographed baseballs at any moment in their life that are now collectively going up for auction?
So this is a stat.
Stat? It's not that many presidents.
Hold on. I'm on the wrong
Unless
page.
I saw a story with the living presidents.
Yeah.
And so there's more.
We're double statting. So
double statting.
Under par score. Yeah, buddy. That's all good. I haven't been able to do many of those lately. You guys keep whooping my ass in this game. It is the combined underscore par of Scotty and McIlroy's 23 under par. Mm. Scotty's 13 under, Rory 10 under. Did you know, through the first three majors of this year, there were only five players who have made the cut and have a score of 4 under or better? Those five players are Scotty Scheffler, Sam Burns, Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy, and the X-Man, Xander Schauffele. 21 presidents have autographed baseballs since Theodore Roosevelt, and that collection of autographed presidential baseballs is now going up for sale. The starting price is just over $3 million. Some of the stories on this are actually pretty cool. So they actually include letters of, like, provenance from people. So in 1918, Teddy Roosevelt signed a ball, which eventually was gifted to the son of the president of General Motors. It is one of only two known baseballs ever signed by Teddy Roosevelt.
Man, that'd be badass.
Now going in, his last term of president was 1909. Yeah. John F. Kennedy has an autographed baseball in here. All these presidents, by the way, are post-Teddy Roosevelt. He starts the line, and then it's since then. John F. Kennedy signed baseball is accompanying a letter from Whitey Ford, who details early in the 1960s, they were playing a spring training game in Florida, and Secret Service agents escorted Whitey Ford, Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle, and Tony Kubik over to JFK's home via limousine. Ford decided on the way there, like, I'm taking something for him to sign. He took a dozen baseballs, and John F. Kennedy signed three for each player at the time. According to the auction house, this one that is up in this auction is the only one of the 12 that remains. All the other 11 have been lost.
Lost?
Isn't that crazy? So what would we spend on a auction of 21 signed presidential baseballs? Because it just sold for $3 million.
For all 21?
For all 21 of the baseballs.
I mean, if I got real FU money,
cool.
I'm getting these baseballs.
Kind of line them up along a mantle.
Yeah, it's about $145,000 a ball.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Some would mean more than others,
yes.
Right? Some would, you know.
Teddy Roosevelt might be the one I want.
That's an awesome story, is it not?
That's a great story.
I also didn't know. I was talking to my dad here. Did you guys know the origin of the All-Star Game was in the early 1900s? There was a baseball writer in like 1917 who passed away, and the players came together and said, "Let's do a charitable game to raise money for him." And like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and all the other folks showed up, played a game, donated all the money to his family. And then they didn't do it again for like 20 years.
And then they said, that was a good
idea.
And
then Major League Baseball in the 30s was like, hey, remember that thing you did? Let's do that again.
Time of vacation.
And they started doing it again. So there's a fun fact for you. The baseballs were sold. $3 million. Status story every Wednesday at 9:27. Let's wrap it up. Send you on your way into your later afternoon on the Wednesday and a semifinal in the World Cup next on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, oh boy, do we got a lot to go through. So let's rapid fire it.
Let's do it.
Whichever one of these you want to be your fan poll question of the day can be your personal fan poll question of the day.
Sure.
And it's brought to you on X every day and dinner tonight at one of their five locations by our neighborhood restaurant group. Five locations, San Diego's Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lorehorse Market Steakhouse. Are you ready?
Yeah.
First up, did you know Nolan Arenado was an Arizona Diamondback?
Nope.
57.4% of you say no.
Thank you for the honesty there.
If you could pick to have a discounted slash better deal on at a sporting event, what would you pick? Concessions or parking? 76.7% say concessions.
Yeah, this was an overwhelming clobbering of parking.
That is a dominant dub right there. Oh. Much more narrow, are you scared of riding the max? This led to a lot of responses. 56.5% of you say no, not scared of riding the max.
I quite enjoyed some of the responses. As somebody that's been on a max with my kids, I enjoyed the one with, I will never get on without carrying a piece. Okay.
All right. If you had to pick today, do the Portland Trail Blazers win more than 42 games this upcoming season?
This is not shocking and shocking at the same time, how overwhelming this poll question was.
72% of you say yes.
I loved the theories, too. The NBA is going to be tanking. They had to be better. And I'm like, really?
We had multiple 50-win projections in those comments.
I wrote them down.
Dude, file those away.
Bookmark. I wrote them down,
you can dunk on everybody if that ends up being the case next year.
Happy birthday, by the way, to Dame Lillard, 36 years young today.
Oh, it's his birthday today?
It is his birthday today,
Happy birthday to the homie Damian Lillard. Choose your wide receiver one. How about the split on this one? Very early returns. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, JSN, Puka Nacua, 31.5 taking JSN.
That's regional
bias. You know, you get a little bit of that. Jamar Chase, 28.8. Justin Jefferson, 27.4.
My number one is number three on the list.
Puka Nacua, a distant third, 12.3%.
Or
fourth, I should say.
A little disrespectful.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with some of the stuff off the field, too. What level of DEFCON are you with on the Blazers leaving town? DEFCON 4, DEFCON 3, DEFCON 2, DEFCON 1!
Yeah, somebody's wondering if we did DEFCON right or wrong.
Oh, yeah, we probably screwed it up again. I thought we Googled it. 32.1% of you say DEFCON 2.
Okay.
23.7% of you say DEFCON 3.
So that's where you're at, right?
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
23.7 also say DEFCON 1, so we have a tie for second place currently. And last place is DEFCON 4, 20.5.
That's where I voted.
You're not worried yet.
Yeah.
Give it time. Do you want daylight savings time to be permanent? 61.5% of you say yes.
Mm.
Do you eat a hot dog once every 5 days? 84.9% of you say no.
Well, somebody with a very stellar point. Somebody had said, I want to go back. I want a guy to go back and check the tapes on how much you guys talk about hot dogs.
We talk about hot dogs a lot. I love hot dogs. Not even I eat that many hot dogs, but I love hot dogs.
Yeah.
And I'm now making hot dogs for dinner tonight. So thank you for the tip, Swigard. That's definitely going to happen. Can I just give you one random little tidbit? So we'll get to England and Argentina coming up here. Your footy thoughts on the second semifinal game.
Yeah.
This one blew me away. There's a lot of great moments at the Open Championship. I'm very excited for it to start tonight. I enjoy it every year. It's the last major of the year. Get up. We're already early risers anyway, so you wake up for work and they're like in the middle of their round. It's delightful. I love it. And you go from group one all the way to the end of the day. There's like 9 hours of tee times. It's fantastic. Tom Watson nearly won the event in 2009. It's one of the most iconic Open Championships ever because he's at the twilight, like he's not even competitive anymore, but still playing as a past champion.
Wasn't he 59?
50, it was like Turnberry 60 years old, like and he damn near won the Open. It's one of the craziest things I ever remember watching. Tom Watson nearly won it in 2009. Consider this. What Watson did in 2009 to nearly win the Open Championship would be the equivalent of two more World Cups being held, and then Tiger Woods contending for an Open Championship after that. So think about where you're at with Tiger right now and the thought of him ever actually doing anything. Fast forwarding two more World Cups into the future, so 8+ years, and then Tiger leading on the 18th hole of Sunday of an Open Championship.
Look, that's a long time. That's great context.
It just to put into perspective, I'll never forget that Open and him nearly winning it and like, oh my God, and then him kind of crumbling on the last hole. He had a great shot to do it at nearly 60 of winning a major championship.
Is there anybody on the tour right now that you would say you'd give them a shot to have that random?
The only place it can happen is at the Open Championship.
Yeah. Agree.
The
now,
only place
because
of
anybody on the tour.
I would give Tiger a shot, yeah.
Oh, really?
I would, yeah.
Oh, I know.
Be able to hit the fairway and know your way around. You play the same courses relatively considered. Like, he's played all of them in his career.
I was thinking more on the Rory Scheffler mark.
Oh, sure. Down the road, yeah.
I think a lot of those Tigers guys. Ever going to be able to play like that again.
I was just picturing an older guy who would still have a chance. I don't know if Phil's ever going to play golf again. Tiger might not either. And we don't know where Phil is. But yeah, I think the Open, that's the beauty of the Open, is that it can lead itself to leaderboards like
that.
You
got to be really smart on the golf course to foul those
points. You don't have to be able to hit the ball 400 yards to win the Open Championship.
Stay out of the bunkers and hit it straight and putt.
Thank you. Find the fairway. Who's your pick? Who do we like this weekend, boys? Got a pick. It's teeing off tonight. Give me a pick. Give me a winner. Who do you like? I'm going Nate. I'm going local boy. Local fan favorite.
Uh-huh.
Second major championship of his career. Justin Rose.
Kind of like Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, you going to stick with the theme?
You're going
We're
Fleetwood?
Going local boy?
Yeah.
God, I love Tommy Fleetwood winning a major.
I'm going to go...
You get a good payout on Tommy Fleetwood.
I'm going Morikawa.
Hey, there you go. Stick with your guy.
Yeah.
He's your guy.
He's my guy.
England get it done today?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe they will. What time is that? Noon?
Noon.
Nooner.
Got another nooner.
Semifinal.
It's going to be great.
Only two more footy games left in the World Cup. That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter. Thanks for watching on YouTube. We love you all. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm of Harrison Meringue live from Gold PDX for the semifinal of the World Cup next. 1051 FM The Fan.
Lemonade. Fresh squeeze lemonade. Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.